Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
You are the one, you are the one, you are the one. You are the one shining. You are the one shining. You are the one the Father has given authority to shine. Oh, shine your light. Shine again. Shine again and again. From light to light. Shine, oh Son of God, shine. Oh, shine. Shine again this afternoon, shine. Grant unto us the knowledge of the glory of God upon your face, Son of God. Grant unto us mercy. Mercy to receive the light that is coming. Oh, help us. Help us by the multitude of your mercy. Help us, oh God, let entrance in understanding be ministered to everyone. Even this morning, we pray. I pray, Lord, that everyone's ear will be open, both here and those who are online. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will rest upon everyone in the name of Jesus. And for me also, that all trance might be given unto me, that with great plainness of speech and clarity, your word will be made known to our hearts today. Thank you, our Father. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just yield my spirit, my soul, and my body completely to you. Help me, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. We may be seated.
Father, 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 Your father sent me. The Father sent me. The Father sent me. The sat on the throne sent me. You sat on the throne sent me. He 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 sat on the throne. 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 He sat on the throne sent me. Even with his things. Even with his stains, even with his stains, even with his stains, he sent me even to open words, even to help you come into words, even to grace you into words, even to open you, even into words, even words of his things, even words of his life, even words of his nature, even words of his realm, even words into realm of his life. He sent me even with an halo, even with an halo, even with an all. But there is an halo, even an halo of light, even an halo of light that I have brought, even to help into his thoughts. It's to help into his thoughts. Even an halo that is on my head that is meant for you. He put it on my head even for you. He put it on me even from me to you. That by this halo, thoughts, breakthrough into thoughts, breakthrough into thoughts, breakthrough into thoughts. Help in the realm of everlasting thoughts. Help in the realm of everlasting thoughts might be found even into doors of words. Even doors of words. Even words of everlasting life. Even sense of everlasting life. He sent me with his halo. He sent me with his halo. He sent me with his halo. He sent me with this halo. This halo for you. Even for you. Even for you. For my people. Even for you. For my people. He's an halo. Even into realm of words you've not spoken before. Even words you've not discerned before. That you might find things everlasting. Even from doors that these halos will grant. Even for my people. Even for my people. Even for there is door here. There is a door here. There is a door here. There is another door into everlasting things. There is another door being ministered even for everlasting wisdom. Even everlasting sense. Even everlasting feet is here. Everlasting feet is here. And everlasting feet is standing here in church today.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. A scripture that comes into my heart is that first, that's Second Peter chapter 1. So shall abundant entrance be ministered to you into the everlasting kingdom. So there is an entrance here today. I want you to believe it. Is another entrance. Recently, the Lord was calling my attention to some, I think that was last month, either early last month or something. It was move of the Spirit that I knelt down and I was, you know, under the anointing, and I began to speak. And one of the things I remembered was that was coming out from my mouth repeatedly was change. And there I perceived the Lord was giving, if I may just throw light on it, was the fact that a season has changed for us. Yeah.
John. It's a John, it's a John, it's a John, the John, the John, the John. It's a dawn of John, it's a dawn of John.
Yeah.
It's a dawn of John, it's a dawn of John. It's a dawn of John, it's a dawn of John. It's a dawn of John.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I was saying that I noticed afterwards my heart has been in the epistles of John. Epistles of John and the gospel of John are almost the same. His epistle and his gospel. What I call the gospel of John was the consummation of the gospel. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the consummation, because he began to bring out the other ones had, you know, things they recorded, but John, the way he began his gospel will make you understand that this is the consummation. In the beginning was the Word, you know, and then he began the epistle, that which was from the beginning. Those are very, very, there are things that we shouldn't take lightly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So, in the beginning was the Word. So there he was actually trying to make us see the entity of the personality, or the personality entity that actually came to us. Is a very high person. What I mean high person is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. I don't know how he was in the beginning, but in the beginning he was not flesh. In the beginning, he wasn't man. The state of the Word, that he's called Word. I don't know what it looks like, but I know that God has form. Amen. There's the form of God, which is different from the form of man. But that was the form he was in the beginning. And then he now condescended and took on him the form of a man, or form of a servant. He was made like a man, and then he took upon him the form of a servant, and then humbled himself further. So it was condescending and condescending that actually revealed, as it were, the Word to us. But it's showing us where he is from, what he is. When I say where he is from, I'm not just talking about a location. As in, when you say somebody is from Ibadan, beginning for them is not, when you hear, in the beginning was the Word. Beginning for them is not a location. Beginning is them. It's still them, but is now a state. When I mean a state, I'm not talking about state as in states and capital. I'm talking about their person. Godhead is mysterious. Godhead is mysterious. That's why I still believe that in eternity, what we will be learning in eternity, amen, church will still continue in eternity. You know, the Bible still talks about the church of the living God. The church of the firstborn. Amen. Those who are written in heaven. You know, so there is still church that is going to be going on in heaven. Amen. And what are we going to be doing in heaven in church? Is it like this? I don't know. I've not been there. But what I can tell you is that what we will be doing in church, because there will still be church in heaven. How many of us like church? So if you don't like church, recently somebody sent one of our pastors You know, just newly born again, not long ago. And I know it was a spirit. A spirit is disturbing him. God will deliver him from that spirit. That right now that he doesn't need anybody to teach him, that the Holy Ghost teacheth him all things. And then he doesn't even need to go to church. He will stay at home and fellowship with heaven. Amen. Forgive me. That's erroneous. I've never found anything. And the person isn't even up to 3 years old in the Lord. And is already fellowshipping with angels and fellowshipping with third heaven. And then doesn't need brethren. First of all, that spirit has cut him off from brethren. You can't. You know, church is full of brethren. Amen. You need to have fellowship with one another. Because before your fellowship will become with the Father and the Son. Those are John's wisdom. You've not had fellowship with one another. Then you want to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. That is in fellowship with one another that your sins will be remitted. The fellowship with one another that they will deal with things that will hinder you from fellowship with the Father and the Son. So, and you reject fellowship. And can I say to you, the fellowship with one another will still continue. Even when you get to the Father and the Son, you discover that a lot of people have, a lot of brethren has also gotten there. So, fellowship with one another. There's that thing that makes a soul wants to be special. I have a special place with God. If there's anybody that should be special, it's our Lord Jesus. But you know, it doesn't feel like that. He's not intimidated by even though he's the one that you're preaching, even though Akogu was just, it was too sweet. It was just too sweet. It was too sweet. You know, and you know, the Lord, I just imagine what the Lord would do. The Lord would just be, okay, now these children are growing, they are growing. They are even explaining it better than I. You think the Lord won't say that? I say, how did you understand it like that? What do you think he was saying? What do men say that I am? Why was he asking them? Is it that he's not aware? He wanted them to preach to him. Preach to me. Let me hear your revelation. Amen. Oh, you think that, no, that cannot be the Lord. When you meet the Lord, you'll be so surprised. Because of some of the things, you now see level of humility that he can sit down and listen to your revelation. And when you finish, you say, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Amen. He won't say, what you just shared right now, you made a point, but I want you to see it. That thing when he said flesh and blood, it was actually praising Peter. Although praising God, but also, wow, Peter. This revelation, this is your revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal this. This can only be from my Father in heaven. It means you're now receiving from my Father in heaven. Amen. Well, I was just trying to say something that in eternity, we are still going to be learning God. We are never going to stop learning God. Like I said, the state that he was in then, that the beginning is such a state that is mysterious. We can't even understand it. I lack words to explain it. To explain that state called in the beginning was the Word. But that's not what I'm explaining. I just want to draw out an inference there. Then in 1 John, he now said, that which was from. Now, you notice one is in the beginning, was the Word. This one is from the beginning. Look at it. That which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Then he now said, that which was from the beginning. And then in bringing that which was from the beginning, you know, I love the way he puts it, which we have heard. So we heard that, which was from the beginning, and we also saw that which was from the beginning, and we looked upon that which was from the beginning, with the purpose of holding that which was from the beginning. And that which was from the beginning is the Word of life. The Word of life. The Word of life, which was from the beginning, for the life was manifested to us as in word. The way they manifested the life was in giving us of words. It was manifested to us and we have seen it. Now, I love the way he put it. He didn't say, some theologians will say, he was talking about the person of our Lord Jesus. Yes, I agree, it was the person of our Lord Jesus. He was trying to show you something. Amen. He was trying to show you something. That's what is called the Word of life. The Word of life, which a man can actually hear, a man can see, a man can, with intent, look at, and a man can also hold. It's called the Word of life. The Word of life. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us in words. Now, what I'm trying to bring out to you here are, you will see entrance. Now, there's no entrance without the Word. That's why you hear David said, the entrance of your Word does what? Giveth light and understanding to the simple. You are simple when you are still outside the kingdom. When you hear simple. Simple, you're simple when you're still outside the kingdom. Meaning you're outside the economy of the mystery of God. Now the kingdom, of course, you understand the kingdom comprises the kingdom of Christ and of God. Amen. The kingdom of Christ and of God, as you find it in Ephesians chapter 5. The kingdom of God, you know that so people who do this and do that and do that and do that cannot have no part in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So the kingdom of Christ and of God is where life is and where life begins. Really, outside the kingdom, you are simple. Now that simple is foolish. Outside the kingdom, you're foolish. What I mean outside, meaning when entrance has not been ministered to you into the kingdom, whether the kingdom of Christ or the kingdom of God, you are foolish. Amen. Now, it's not, they are not trying to yab you. They are just telling you your state. You can be smart in business, but you're foolish spiritually. You can be smart in school, but you're foolish spiritually. It's not good to be foolish spiritually. And God doesn't want us to be foolish spiritually. And that is why Christ is made unto us wisdom. So when you're coming, they will make you wise. Now your wisdom, the wisdom of this world, is not allowed. Meaning if you're coming and you've been wise, you'll just discover how foolish you are when it comes to God. Amen. Because in your wisdom, you will not be able to find the entrance. The Word of life will elude you. Romans chapter 1 said, the world in wisdom did not know God. Did you get that? What he's simply saying that the wisdom of this world at its best expression can never unlock the door of entrance. The wisdom of this world, in its best expression, the wisdom of this world, not the princes of this world, that is why it comes to naught. Why did he say it comes to naught? No, it comes to naught not because it cannot benefit you here in this life of the earth. So the wisdom of this world meant you pay, you go to school to learn it. You pay a lot of money to acquire it. Amen. You go through a whole lot of hurdles to learn. You got to be mentored. Some of you have mentors in business. You have mentors, you know, in, you know, you learn it. You go to learn it. Why do you go to learn it? Amen. One of those days I was just scrolling and I saw some of the wisdom, you know, philosophers. And what they are saying, you know, if not that I know Christ, when you hear some of their wisdom, you say, this is a wise saying. But one of the things you need to understand that these are hard things to say, but any wisdom that is not after Christ is against Christ. Wisdom is not neutral, is against Christ. You will not see it at that moment. It is when Christ's demands begins to come to you that you now begin to see that the wisdom which this world teaches is actually deliberately. Now you won't, it won't start telling you that, oh, hate Christ, don't like Christ. No, but if you swallow the pill of that wisdom, one of the things it's going to do to you is that it will make you not, you will not accept the demand of Christ when the demand of Christ comes. Because Christ is also wisdom, but it's a wisdom that is of God. It's a wisdom that is of God. Meaning it's a wisdom that opens the door to the things of God. So the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the princes of this world, at its best, comes to naught. Why it comes to naught is that the world in wisdom did not know God. Meaning that there is no way you will open the window or the door of entrance into God's things without the wisdom called Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see it. You can hear it. I love verse 3. It said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have entrance into fellowship. So things need to be said to us in order to come into entrance. Can you say entrance? Abundant entrance. So abundant entrance is what we need. Why everlasting things are everlasting is because it is not one entrance. For your information, even the things of Christ is not one entrance. They are many doors, many entrance, many entrance. Amen. Can you say many entrance? Many entrants. So you keep entering and entering and entering and entering. One of the books that, you know, made me see this and understand it a little bit more was the book of Rick Joyner. You remember Rick Joyner, Final Quest? How many of us have read it? Amen. Okay, drop your hand. How many of us have not read that book? Wow, you're plenty. Which book did I tell you to read the other time? Huh? How many of you have read it? No, those that have not read it, that have now read it. That you didn't read it then, but now you've read it. Huh? Is it going to take you a month? Okay, you're reading it now. Read it quick. Because there's a whole lot to learn. Amen. But that Final Quest is a book. That book, when it came out, oh my God. There's never a book that revived me. When I say revived, The thing tore me apart. It was a season, I think it was just when Reverend came down from Kaduna. It just coincided when Reverend came down to Kaduna, and then he was teaching, and he had been teaching, and you know, for about a year or so, or two, I can't remember. My wife remembers, you know, then. And then the first thing he brought to us was this Jenlade prophecy. Jenlade prophecy was too hard then to understand. I had a copy of it at the back of my Bible. Because every time I'm reading it, I'm just going through it. I'm going through it. When I read it, it's as if you're reading the book of Revelation. Is it not how it appears to us? You need the spirit of wisdom and understanding to understand Jenlade's prophecy. Amen. So we read it, and when I read it, I was one of the things I took from it, because I kept reading it, but the first time I read it, one of the things I took from it was the process. The process that those who are God, when he said, none will stand under God except them that have been tried after the similitude of Christ. So that was the first thing that I held on to. So it means that this thing has a process. I'd always known that, look, the things of God, there's always a road. There's always a process. When I mean road, there's always a path. There's always a way. Amen. I won't forget that time we went to, you know, those days we used to go to Raji Oba for ministers' conference, you know, and Baba Oyedepo will share testimonies. You know, his mouth and testimonies, powerful testimonies, and everybody is just wow, wow, wow. And then when we come out from the meeting, you just hear some young ministers, they are talking about it, and they are saying, that I'm going somewhere to happen. I'm going somewhere to happen. What they are seeing was prospect in ministry. But you know, one of the things that God helped me then, I used to say, well, I don't know how I have that kind of conviction or that kind of heart. One of the things that I used to see was when I'm talking with my other pastors, friends, and they're saying, Daddy has just charged us. I'm going somewhere to happen. I'm always sad. Sad for one thing. This man didn't get this thing just like that. There's a process. I knew it. I knew that there was a process to it. I knew there was a path to it. So when Daddy now came from, I saw the picture yesterday, the picture, you won't believe it, is the one when he came, not, I think then they've gotten married, but he was very, very young, very fine. He was a very fine man. Amen. And then when he brought the prophecy and I saw it, I knew this is, I said it, there's always a path to everything that you see. When you see allocation, men coming to allocations, you see John, you see Paul, you see Peter, you see allocations in the spirit, they don't just fall on you like a pack of cherry. There's always a path. Now, the way in the days of charismatic, maybe days of Hagin, the way they will put it is that there's always a price to pay. When you hear there's always a price to pay, you are talking about the path. They didn't call it path, they called it price to pay. There's always a price to pay. Amen. So when he brought it, I saw it, I said, wow, this book. So I kept it at the back of my Bible. Every time I'm reading it, every time I read it, I want to understand it. Then, I forgot who actually brought that book. Final Quest. Amen. So they just brought Final Quest. That was the only copy that we had in all of Bariga. Because all of us were in Bariga. It was just the one copy that was in Bariga. What we did was we had to photocopied and bound it. And I was really, but when I read that Final Quest, it made a remarkable turn in my life. Amen. I've always been zealous, but there was something it did to me. Praise God. So I want you to also partake of that, if you don't mind. But I just brought that to say this, that in Final Quest, one of the things that he mentioned were doors. Many doors. At each level of truth, They were doors. Each level of truth, when you enter into that level of truth, there you meet from this door to the other door to the other door, and each of them we are treasures. And the Bible said, in him dwells all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge in him. So that mountain was him. So you are climbing Christ. You're climbing Christ. You're climbing to. What you're saying is, every level, we are levels of truth. That when you get into the truth, because it began with truth of salvation. You know, salvation, that's the new birth. There were doors inside, you know, at that level of the mountain. Then you go further, then you go further, you go further. Each of them had doors. And then even when he got to the, that was the peak of the mountain, then many doors. Hallelujah. Many doors. So there were doors he was entering, and each one he enters, you know, he said that some doors didn't look attractive at all. The door will repel you. But he said he discovered that those doors, the treasures in those doors that look so dark, were actually very precious. Treasures of light that when you eventually enter into it, the darkness that was at the door, you will not see it again because of the amount of light that is there. And then he said he will touch one stone. When he touches one stone, which, you know, those stones are treasures. They are knowledge. They are knowledge. When you touch one, he said you will come into experience. You will so experience it that you will, holding one stone will take you on a journey of experience spiritually. That will almost take you. You have to leave the stone. And then he said there were many of them. One door to the other and the other. So I'm just saying that to make you see that in things everlasting, there are many doors. Can you say many doors? And one of the doors, major doors that God has opened to us in this season is John. Amen. Now, does it mean that we've not heard teachings on the book of John? We started hearing that long time ago. Not now. If you've been around these waters for some time, we started hearing the teachings of John long time ago. Not now. But you see, you can't be hearing a thing and then entrance has not been granted to you. That is one of the things about spiritual things. You can be hearing it and entrance has not been granted to you. Now, there's a way entrance can be granted to you as an individual. There's also a way the entrance can be granted to us corporately. And I believe one of the things the Lord is declaring is that entrance has been granted to us corporately. Meaning understanding will increase. Understanding will come. We will touch these treasures. Amen. We will touch this dimension. The word John holds actually is not, when you hear John, come to John, enter John. What John holds, you know, somebody will say, why not come to Peter? No, it's not about John. It's not about the person. There is nothing John holds that is of John. These men, where they were, there is nothing of them. They were stripped of all that is of man. That you can't even be here and glory. Check the man you met in Isle of Patmos. Was there any glory about it? I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Was there any glory about being in Isle of Patmos? But there was so much glory. There's so much glory that you'll be so glorious, but you wouldn't know you're glorious. If they tell you you're glorious, you wouldn't know you're glorious. Amen. Because I think somewhere they just make you not see the glory. Because really, you have eyes to see the glory when it is vainglory. When it's vainglory, you will have, because that was what actually happened to Adam. He was covered with glory. He was covered with glory. Well, yeah, he was naked. Somebody is thinking of stripping yourself. That thing was figurative. That thing was more spiritual than just physical nakedness. How do I know? Angels that come, saints that visit, how do they look like? Are they naked? They wear glory. They wear something. But what they wear, is it this my kind of clothes? Is it this kind of clothes? Now, is it this kind of clothes that they wear? Is it this what they wear? No, it's not. These spirits can't wear this. So what do they wear? But they are clothed. Amen. They are what? They are clothed, but not with this. They are clothed. They are clothed with glory. Glory, glories, clothings. Amen. You know, that's why Jesus said, he that overcometh shall walk with me in white. Meaning, I'll give you a new garment, white garment. You will walk. Now, that white garment is not physical garment, it's glory garment. Now, the way clothes are made in the realm of the spirit is according to how your soul has been decked. In fact, I believe that what appears to be clothing on you, if at all we want to explain it, you know, with the way we see it, we see, you know, maybe an angel wearing a garment is flowing from their within. I don't know if you're following with me. It's flowing from their within. What you see upon is just interpreting what is within or reflecting what is within. Amen. It looks like I'm telling stories, but something is happening. So it is from within. From within. Something from within. How your soul is what will reflect. If your soul has been made white, you will also, it will also reflect as a covering. So glory. Can you say glory?
Glory.
Say glory.
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 Say it again with me. Glory.
Glory.
So Adam wasn't naked. What he was wearing actually was a living cloth. It was a living cloth because it was a living soul. So he will be qualified to wear a living cloth. And that living cloth was a reflection of how his soul is. So it was a living thing. So when he fell, he had to look for something else to cover. But before he was, what the Bible said, that we are naked. It's not in the sense of stripping. It's in another sense. Amen. Meaning there was nothing between the man and the woman. Amen. This is awesome. Between the, you know, right now, even though I'm 20 years in marriage, you will know that you don't achieve that nakedness. That nakedness means vulnerable to one another. That vulnerable to one another. You don't achieve it in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. You see that there's still somewhere you want to hide some things. You want to defend yourself. You want to, you know. Am I saying the truth? No, now, not everybody will answer me if I'm saying the truth, because it's only those who are married that will understand that you don't achieve it in 1 day. There is every one of us. You know, the way they use you, that fig tree sense is still inside everybody. That fig tree sense. That fig tree is cover yourself. Oh. You better cover yourself. Otherwise, they will see your nakedness. So when we marry, we still cover ourselves. Amen. He made me remember a brother who got married. He will wear jeans to sleep. And the wife will complain. What is wrong with him? Amen. Amen. That's how some of us are towards our wives. Spiritually speaking. You still wear that fig tree sense. Fig tree. That fig tree looks like jeans. I don't know. It must be very thick like jeans. I don't think it's satin or, you know, or lace. I think it's jeans, you know, that will really cover. You can't see through it. That's fig tree sense. Praise God. Now, but it takes time for you to get to the point where you become vulnerable to one another. You don't defend yourself before your wife. And the wife doesn't defend herself before the husband. You know, we are not there yet. Amen. It still means we are still using fig tree, even in our marriage. But you know that vulnerability is actually, when he said they were naked and they were not ashamed, they were just displaying what is in the Godhead. What they were displaying by being naked and not ashamed is actually a life that is in the Godhead. Amen. Can you say glory? Say it again with me, glory.
Glory.
So here they were naked, not naked physically, they wore glory. Now, one of the things I've come to know is that we can actually change clothes. Can you say change clothes? You know, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from change of raiment, amen. Glory to glory, one garment to another garment. From one garment to another garment. We beholding as in the face. What are we beholding? But we all with an open face beholding. What are we beholding? As in the glass. What are we beholding? And then what will happen? To the same image from glory to glory. So if it's from glory to glory, then it's from image to image. Image formations. Then I can also say it's from clothing to clothing. Amen. You know, one of those days I said something. The Lord just reminded me. He said, if, you know, some of us, maybe you don't like to share your raiment. Or maybe a brother or any of the pastors or any of the, you know, older ones. Probably some of the clothes that they don't wear again and they decide to share it or maybe give it. And some people say, no, I'm sure it's not. We are not like that here. Praise God. I know some people say, no, I can't wear what somebody else have worn. I remember somebody who was about to, a sister who was about to wed, not here, and then there were a lot of needs, and one of the needs was to get wedding gown. And then there was another sister who had just wedded, who was just the same size. And she was asked to, in fact, the sister offered it. The parents said no. You cannot wear, you cannot carry curse of another person into your. So I now begin to wonder, I say, well, how did we arrive to knowing? What kind of sense is that? That's African magic. It's too much Nollywood will make you think like that. Not scripture. Amen. Praise God. And then we also do that when maybe somebody passes a cloth on to us, maybe shares a cloth with us. Some of us have that attitude, no, I don't wear what other people's wear. Other people, I like my own brown new. There is no cloth in the realm of the spirit that has not been worn. Somebody has worn it. There's no clothes we are wearing that John has not worn. And say, enter John, you're entering into his clothes. It's a glory that he once covered. So if you don't like doing it with your brethren physically, you know, that's also what makes somebody know, that your revelation, I have something superior. I don't know. There's something that the Lord has revealed to me, which he has never revealed to anybody in a lie. There's nothing that has been revealed to you that has not been revealed to somebody. Somebody has won it. Now, I'm not even talking about our Lord Jesus. Some saints have won it. I'm specially anointed. The anointing that is of me, it has never been witnessed on earth. No, you cannot be more anointed than the apostles. You cannot be more anointed than Paul. You can't be more anointed than Paul. There is no cloth, glory, that has not been worn. Men wear it and they move from glory to glory. They drop it so that another person can wear it. Amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Dubero Fasho Shua, the Kasi Fashion, Visa Fashion, Visa Fashion, Visa Fashion, Visa Fashion, Visa Fashions in the Spirit, even fashions in the Spirit, even demeanors in the Spirit, even frames in the Spirit, even weavings in the Spirit, even plottings in the Spirit, even statures in the Spirit, even heights in the Spirit. For there are frames in the Spirit that have even their wearing. There are fashions in the Spirit that have even their wearing. There are statues in the Spirit that have even their commensurate wearing. All of them even framed by the Word. All of the statues framed by the Word. All of the heights even framed by the Word. And all of the wearings that come even upon such statues, such buildings, such frames are also all made by the Spirit. For it is the Lord who makes even wearing that fits even frames that he had designed in the Spirit. For that which he doth teach you, even with your natural conversation, even that which he doth teach you, even with your brotherly conversation, even the conversation of sharing things, even the conversation of passing even things that you have used even to that person who yet needs it, even the conversation of growing out of one house and moving into another and leaving that house even for someone else, even growing out of one car even to another and leaving the previous car even for someone else, even growing out from one job and passing it even to the other, all
things that he is using, even to want to train you for things in the spirit. For there are fashionings in the spirit. There are frames in the spirit. There are statues in the spirit. There are heights in the spirit. All of which have their wearings. They have their glories. They have their anointings. They have their mantles. They have their spirit. And it is as you grow even into a stature that the house of that stature, even the glory of that stature, even the wearing of that stature would locate you. For I also demonstrate it even in churches. For yes, somebody serves even in a capacity, and I raise him and put blessing on him. I raise him, I put anointing on him. I raise him, I put grace on him. And when I raise him even to another responsibility, I take even that which I have put upon him, and I put it even upon another that I have raised even to bear that same responsibility. It is from frame to frame. It is from cloth to cloth. It is from anointing to anointing. It is from spirit to spirit. It is from hallow to hallow. It is from house to house. For there are wearings even for a Christ man. There are wearings even for an everlasting man. And there are wearings even for an eternal man. For you see, your Lord is in his eternal glory. He is set even in an eternal world upon the eternal throne, even by the eternal God. For he wants you to use glories, even from the glory of Christ, even to the glory of the Father, and eventually even the glory of the Son, who is at the right hand. But you see, there is no glory. There is no mantle. There is no anointing. There is no garment. There is no spirit that you will wear, that you are wearing, that one has not worn before. For many men have won even spirits in Old Testament time, even spirit of just men made perfect. And there are spirits even in New Testament times that men allowed me to build them and weave such spirit for them. For such spirit also comes to your meetings, and such spirit at times even rest upon people even amongst you. Yeah, because they were built into that capacity. But you see, the ultimate glory and the ultimate spirit is the one on the Son of God. Therefore, I say, grow, and whatever mantle, whatever spirit that comes upon you, know it's for the journey. It's for the journey. It's not the ultimate wearing, for the ultimate wearing is that which is at the right hand.
This tongue has preached all the message. How many of you were helped by this? Amen. It's true. That's church life. So you see, the way we have needs in the natural, that's also how we have need in the spiritual. Amen. The way we have needs in the natural is the way we have needs in the spiritual. You know, when you read Psalm, you hear David said, "For I am poor and needy." How many of us have read that? You read that on the surface, you think he was talking about being poor physically and needy physically. No, that's not poor. He was a king. If you go and read Chronicles, the day they were giving money for the temple, the day they were sowing for the temple, what he gave, the guy was a multi-billionaire king. But he will cry, "I am poor and needy." He had a need in the spirit. Did you get that? So the way we have needs in the physical, you know, and somebody, you know, a need, like I said, the tongue taught it, you know, pass clothes to meet that need, and then you reject it. You're training your soul against something. Our house, somebody moves in. They look natural, but God is actually using it to teach us a whole lot of lesson. Amen. That's how it is in the spirit. That's why I said there is no glory. There is no clothing, glory clothing that you will ever wear that somebody has not worn. Amen. Somebody has worn it. So I perceive that what they are bringing to us is many. You see, those entrants, they are also what I'll call in my Father's house. That's the scripture that captures it very. Can you say in my Father's house? That's the everlasting house. Because that's the house of the Father. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. Many mansions. That mansions, another word is abiding places. Abiding place is not as in a mansion physically, but is a glory tabernacle. The glory tabernacle, tabernacles of glory, which you are privileged to wear or you come into by reason of your journey, statures you come into in journey. Amen. You come into certain privileges. Now, when you come, these privileges are privileges in the spirit that I'm mentioning right now. You come into such privileges by reason of some statures you come into. Amen. In my Father's house are many clothings. The Father has many clothes. Amen. Not physical clothes. Many glories. Many entrance. Many entrance. Much entrance. Many entrance. The entrance is from the beginning to the end. Amen. It's from one point to the end. The entrance is from one point. So when you hear, so shall an entrance be ministered to you abundantly. So it means that the abundant clothings, abundant wearings, hallelujah. Amen. Abundant wearings in the Father. Now when you hear Father, the mystery of the Father, like you all know, is the mystery of everlasting life. So when he says in my Father's house, then he's talking about the everlasting kingdom. The everlasting kingdom is my Father's house. When you hear kingdom, the everlasting life is the everlasting kingdom. Entrance into everlasting life is entrance into everlasting kingdom. And into that everlasting kingdom, there are many mansions. I love the word they use. They didn't just use many houses. Mansions are for kings. So it means in the Father, when you arrive at the Father, you are a king. You're seen as a king spiritually. Amen. You know, in the when Jesus was talking, he said, the things you're hearing, many kings. The kings he was talking about is a kings and, how do you put it? Get me that place. Amen. These prophets and kings are men who have come into this entrance. What makes you king here is the entrance into your mansion. You enter into your mansion, meaning you enter into your glory. Glory prepared for you. Amen. How many of you know there are preparations of glory? I go to prepare you a place. He said, I go to prepare you a place. I go to prepare you a place. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare you a place. Because in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I mean, there are many clothes. There are many entrances. There are many glories. Hallelujah. I pray that God opens your eyes to see what I'm talking about. That it will not just be, even though I'm speaking about it simply, but your spirit can latch on it. Your eyes can see it. It can be a point of encounter. There are many, many mansions. So a king is one who has a mansion, right? Amen. Amen. So it means that anyone who has entered into the everlasting kingdom or has come into everlasting life is actually a king. Is actually a king. So when Jesus was saying many kings, many prophets and kings, he was talking about after the old order, which John the Baptist also belonged to. Of all that is born of a woman, there's no reason anyone that is greater than John. But the least in the kingdom is a king. Greater than John. The least in the kingdom. How do you know where he has entered? When I'm talking about John, I'm talking about John the Baptist. I'm not talking about John the Apostle. Greater, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Where he has entered. He's granted entrance into what? The kings. Like, you know, when you meet men like John the Baptist, you meet men like Jeremiah, you meet men like Isaiah, you meet men like David. They were kings in the spirit. They were kings in the spirit. They were kings in the spirit. And they had their places. They had their own portion. Or their own lot. Or their own mansions after their order is still with their names. It's still with their names. It's still bearing their names. And that's how they give it. They give it and they give it with your name. Yeah, when you hear spirit of Elijah, they can't call it another thing. They will not stop calling it spirit of Elijah, now call it spirit of Phineas. No, it's spirit of Elijah. And Elijah will wear it and drop it, and another will wear it. John the Baptist now wore it. Amen. He came in the spirit of Elijah. Those were kings. What you're seeing there, we are, I'll call it glories, glory wearings, glory clothings. They are also called mansions. It means our mansion is a mansion you will carry as you're going. Moving mansion. You know the way you change house? That's also how they change mansions. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you live in a house and then maybe after a while you've grown bigger than the house. And then you're trusting God. Don't move because wait for an entrance to be ministered to you. I'm even talking physically. Amen. You wait for entrance to be ministered to you. If it's not ministered to you, don't force it. It's also part of learning spiritual culture. Amen. 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 So these men, they had mansions. They moved houses. And these houses are houses that you will carry as you're going. So you're going to be seeing people with their houses, even while they are on earth. Some people are wearing things. And that one, I know it very well. Some people are wearing things. The same way people are wearing glory clothes are also the way people are wearing graves. Grave is opposite of glory. Grave, glory, grave. Opposite of glory is grave. Is grave. That's what that angel had as his father. You know, when he had father, he's a father also. In his domain of fatherhood, what he has are mansions. Those things are graves. Grave clothings. Amen. Death and grave. He can make a soul wear it. A soul can die and die and die and die to the point where he's wearing grave. Amen. Praise the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. So I said, the entrance be ministered to you. Amen. Entrance be ministered to you abundantly is simply talking about coming into this mansions or glory dimensions. But of course, there is no way you will come into it without you being prepared for it. Somebody said, I got to prepare a place for you. Those places are there, but I will go to the right hand and I will take the things that are at the right hand and I will send them to you. And as you receive them, you are being prepared as that place is prepared. Of course, I can also say that to prepare a place for you means that that everlasting kingdom had never been touched until the Son of God arrived. Wow, thank God for Jesus. That everlasting dimension, meaning that dimension of the Father of, that's the fatherhood of God at that, he had fathered spirits. Don't make mistake. But not the way he fathered Christ. The way he fathered his Son was an opening of an entrance into what is called the everlasting kingdom. That's the way he fathered Christ. There are things that Christ inherited that no other person inherited. There are things he gave to the Son. As the Father had life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life. Well, what did the Father have? He had everlasting life. He gave to the Son to have everlasting life. So to prepare a place for you is to open up that place for you, so that entrance will now be ministered to you. They can now begin to minister entrance to you. So one of the entrance that I've been talking about is the entrance of little children. So when you enter first, you are what? Little children. I write unto you, little children, chapter 2, verse 12. Amen. See how long it took me to arrive here. I'm learning the attitude of the Spirit, because I could have just jumped into the ministration and then, but I'm sure they took us like this so that you can. How many of us felt the smell of glory? Huh? How many of you did that? Okay, now let me not ask how many of you, because some will not put up their hands so that, or will, Pastor, don't ask that so that they will not know I didn't feel anything. It's not by feeling. You smell in the Spirit. It's not feeling. It is. When I was talking, I sensed glory. It's still available. It's still around. And, you know, that smell, when they declare things like that, they want some things to rest. That's one of the major reasons for declaring things like that. They want things to rest. Now, things can rest if we do not. You need to be sensitive. What will awaken your sensitivity for to respond by faith is these things being made known to you. Concerning the spiritual, I will not have you ignorant. Ignorant robs you of things in the spirit. Amen. What did I say? So when Paul was saying, I will have you not be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant, because ignorant will rob you. Even as wonderful as spiritual gift is, even as wonderful as it is, and is not even something that is given to you particularly by reason of stature, you can be robbed of it. You may not know how to operate in gifts of the Spirit because it has not been taught. I just remember those days I used to teach a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. And when I teach it, there's always manifestation of it. There's always manifestation of it. Why? Because in teaching it, people can respond to it, can respond by faith, because it's always there. It's always given. Amen. That's basically how things of the Spirit is. So I feel that garment is still very much around. And changes of garment. Changes of raiment. Changes of raiment. Amen. Changes of raiment. Changes of raiment. I said changes of raiment. Changes of raiment. I said changes of raiment. I'm hearing you. Changes of raiment. Changes of raiment. Changes of raiment. They are changing your raiment. They are changing your raiment. Changing your raiment. Changing your raiment. Changing your garment. Changing your garment. Giving you a new garment. A new garment. A new garment. A new garment. I see new garment. New garment. New garment. Garments being taken off and garments being put upon you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One of the things they call garments, you know, call it garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, when you hear praise, is entrance. So that garment of praise is entrance, meaning an entrance has been ministered. An entrance has been ministered to you. It's a spirit of praise. A spirit of praise is a spirit. So garments are spirits. Because you understand, it's not spirit as an entity, spirit as clothing, like I talked about, spirit. But it's a spirit of praise. It will not be seen in your physical body, but your soul is wearing it. Your soul is wearing praise. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, into his courts with praise. Praise is a garment. It's a garment that when you wear it, you don't hear, lift up your heads, O ye, and be thou lifted, O ye. I'm not hearing you. Be thou lifted, O ye. And what is everlasting doors? That's a dimension of the Father. Be thou lifted, O ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. Why will the door answer you? You're wearing something. You remember that man that came into the wedding feast without a garment? What did they do to him? They took him and they said, Mr. Man, how did you come into this place without a garment? You must have get crushed. You're not supposed to enter here without a garment. So it means every dimension in the everlasting kingdom has their wearing. They have their wearing. Let's go through it. So the first entrance, like I was talking about last Sunday, is little children. Amen. Can you say little children? Well, I said, I write unto you little children. Of course, we've said that and you understand that quite well, that little children is not talking about age, you know, talking about age in the physical. No, he's even talking about age in, okay, maybe you just came to the church newly. No, that's not. Little children are, or maybe you're newly born again. No, it's not talking about age in the physical. Not neither that you're just newly born again that made you little children. These are little children in everlasting life. Because what John was teaching there was everlasting and eternal. Everlasting and eternal. John, amen. Can you take this? Can you take this? Now, John was instructing men who are in everlasting life. He was in a higher light. John had entrance of eternal life. He had entrance of eternal life. These things we have heard and bear witness. What are we bearing witness? That eternal life. And it wasn't only John alone. There were others, because he was talking about we. Look at it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we. Can you say we? Amen. Not me. Them. Did you get that? What do I mean by them? John and men in that pedigree. They had understanding of eternal life. They had entrance of eternal life. So they can, he was writing from the point of eternal life, instructing believers who are in everlasting life. Little children, young men, fathers. So he was a father, writing to fathers. Amen. Did you understand it? He was a father, writing to father, just like you read in Hebrews, God who has sundry times and in diverse manner speak to our fathers. Where was he? Where is he speaking from to our fathers? He was speaking from a realm higher than the fatherhood that they have been communicated to. But he needs them to come there for him to speak. So John was also, that church must have been great. This church must have been great that they have a company of everlasting men that John could begin to write to. And what he was writing to them and bearing witness. So John wasn't just an ordinary man. He was a witness of it. Oh, you didn't get me. John was a witness of eternal life. He was a witness of eternal life. He was a witness of eternal life. Just the same way Paul was a minister and a witness. John was, he was a minister and a witness. Because you're a minister and a witness of the things which I have appeared to you. So John was a minister and a witness of eternal life. He could minister eternal life. He could witness eternal life. Wow. Praise God. That's why he can bear witness of that and show unto you. We bear witness and show unto you that, so even John can show it. That's why he's a witness. He can show eternal life. Eternal life which was with the Father. So, why the Father was ministering everlasting life? Eternal life was with him. While he was ministering everlasting life, eternal life was... Don't think eternal life, he will travel to go and bring it. No, it was with him. It was with him while he was ministering everlasting life, which is the Father. In the Father is eternal life. And eternal life is with him. But who can journey into that dimension to bring that out? In other words, you can be with the Father and be with the Father, and you may never know eternal life until they open it to you. Somebody say, how is it possible? They were with Christ and they were with him, and they didn't know the Father. And when he talked about the Father, they said, show us the Father. And he said, hey, have I been so long with you and you do not know me? Don't you know that he who has seen me, now that seen me is not seeing Christ. He's seen me as the Son of God has seen the Father. Meaning he that has got the revelation of me as the Son of God has seen the Father. Because in the revelation of the Son of God is the fatherhood of God manifested. That is where the fatherhood of God is actually explained. In the revelation of the Son of God is where the fatherhood of God is actually manifested, in the revelation of the Son of God. So if you're seeing me as Christ, you can be seeing me as Christ. But with me is the Father. And I can be so long with you. Now I'm speaking instead of the Lord, not me. Not me as Pastor Maker. Don't think I'm not there yet. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So you're seeing, assuming this is Christ, I'm speaking. You know the way he said, as God was in Christ, reconciling, I'm speaking instead of Christ, in a sense. Just understand me. That you can be with Christ and see Christ and enjoy Christ and not know the Father. But actually, the essence of Christ is to make you come to the point where you will say, I go to my Father. Every Christ looks for the Father. Every Christ, if you've come to Christ, you will look for your Father. I say it again. Every Christ, if you've been taught Christ, you will look for the Father. If you've been taught Christ well, you will look for the Father. So he said, I go to my Father. I go to my Father. Now, meaning the intention is that as you know Christ, I love this scripture. He said, therefore has he sent the Spirit of his Son in us, crying, Abba, Father. That Spirit of the Son is a revelation of the Son. Now, anyone who gets the revelation of the Son will, that crying, look at it, because ye are sons, God has sent. So how we know is that God sends the Spirit of his Son into your heart, that makes you cry, Abba, Father. Amen. It will make you cry, Abba, Father, meaning you will begin to respond to the Father. I took that turn to explain to us what John was talking about. To bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. I like that. So in the season of the Father also being taught, there is eternal life. But he will keep it. Amen. He will keep it. But he will take you into many entrances. Many mansions. Now all of those entrances, they are to bring you to the place where you will begin to also see. Because it's from glory to glory. You begin to see that there is yet much more. There is more. Can you say there's more? I'm not hearing you say there's more. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are bored of this journey? You know, sometimes I feel some people will just say, this thing you guys are talking about, the thing looks, is that how Christianity is? It looks as if it's an unending journey. When are we going to arrive? When are we going to get there? The husbandman waited patiently. In fact, he's even waiting for you. And he has long patience. So you yourself should also be patient. Now, that patient is not patient of redundance. It's a patient that we use to run the race. Did you get what I just said now? Yeah, remember I said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So that patient is not that you're not doing anything. Okay, so since God is patient. Let's be patient. Oh, we don't know when this eternal life thing is going to land on us. Just be patient. Amen. Let me be watching them. Maybe they say it after Christ, we stayed in Christ, and then they were telling us the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And then now they are now saying, it's not they are saying, it's scripture is in your Bible. It's not what he's saying, it's what is in the Bible that is opening up for us. Amen. But I want to encourage you to continue. Amen. You can't afford to be. Isn't it exciting? Isn't it exciting that you've been called to come and know God? Amen. 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 It's interesting that you've been called to come and know God. It's interesting that God can be known. That God can be known. So, I like this. Let me just mention it. I'll still teach it because I'll stay here. It's at entrance. So the first point is little children. Can you say little children? Amen. So can you say little children? Say it again with me, little children. So that's the first stage. Now in that realm of little children, there are many entrances. Now I was studying that place. You know, twice he said little children. Twice he said, little children, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Then another time, I think it was the next verse, he now said, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Look at it. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Now, I went through it. I saw from the translation that the first little children and the second little children are not the same. There is not the same word that we are used. The first one was talking about little child. Is it the other one was, one was higher. Meaning the other one was grown a little bit. Just like you have babe and suckling. Babes and suckling, are they the same? Or, like Pastor was teaching, child, children, or child, the child Jesus. Or the child increased. There was a time when he was baby, but there was a time when he was a child. So one was a baby, one was a child. Amen. Now the child, the baby is the one whose sin has been forgiven. Amen. Now somebody will say, what is that? Now that sin, I took time last week to talk about that issue of sin. So that you don't confuse yourself about it. Sin is not a small matter. And God is not joking with sin. In fact, God's intention is actually to completely eradicate sin from his creation. And can I tell you something? Before God, that's one of the things that when I caught that revelation, when I caught that understanding, I'm so excited about it. Before God, can you say before God? Not as in his state as God, where he cannot be tempted nor tempt. Before God, as in having done all things, you know, he said. When he purged our sins, he sat down. When he purged it totally. Before him, sin does not exist. Meaning, sin is not a problem. Now, don't misunderstand me. Before you say, Pastor said, before God, sin does not exist. So you go and just be doing anything. There's nothing called sin again. You're on your own. That was not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the barrier called sin has been dissolved. You know what dissolved it? The blood of the Son of God. The blood of the Son of God dislodged that thing. Call it mystery of sin, mystery of iniquity, whatever is blood. That blood dissolved it. But what we are busy receiving is the work that the blood has done. Amen. What did I say? The work that the blood has done. The blood has accomplished the work. They want you to now inherit the work. They want you to receive. That's what they mean. Forgiveness of sin and an inheritance. You see, that forgiveness of sin is just beside inheritance. So it means that forgiveness of sin is something you will have to receive for inheritance. So another way you can put it is that there are two sides of the coin. If you don't have forgiveness of sin, you can't have inheritance. And inheritance are portions of fathers for children. Yes, there can be inheritance if there's no father. So inheritance are portions of the father for children. So you can now see that this is referring to children of the kingdom. So these are children in everlasting life. They have received forgiveness of sin, which is also an inheritance. You don't know. When we say an inheritance, it's not, Pastor Leke, you offended me, I've forgiven you. No. It's not like that. That forgiveness, when you say receive forgiveness, what you're receiving is a work. That work you're receiving is the work that the blood has done. And when you receive the work the blood has done, one side is forgiveness. The other side, that's on the negative side, is forgiveness. On the positive side is an inheritance. Because what you just received is a person. A person. So David cried and said, blessed is the man whose sins are remitted. He's not talking about when you gave your life to Christ. He's not even talking about when you did something wrong and then you cried and God said, I've forgiven you. No, he's talking about, he said, blessed, blessed, blessed. Why would he say blessed? You need to receive blessing. Blessings are revelation. Blessings are revelation. So it's revelation. Revelation is what is required for sins to be unimputed. Sin has been imputed by reason of learning, by reason of acquisition of works. Works we are done. You know, when I was teaching about works, I think, was it in writing the vision? I was trying to make us see works. If you just, you know, there are some points that if you have it and you keep it at the back of your mind, it will help you for understanding. When you have works, works are like two parts, they are works. When you have works in the scripture, there's work that is like what you're talking about, your responsibility, which is obedience. Did you get that? Your obedience is counted to you as works. So when the Lord said to that church, I know thy works, he was also referring to their obedience. To what? To truth. At the level that it had been taught them. I know thy works. Now, another understanding of works is not just obedience. is also what is wrought inside. But you see, it's the obedience that will, the obedience which is works my response that will bring me to the place where I inherit a work. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat what? The good of the land. So if I am obedient, I will inherit something. So, like I said, he said, blessed. So, when he said blessed, he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed. So, blessedness is in the unveiling of the truth. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. That's little children. Those are the little children in the kingdom. They are the ones whose sins are forgiven. I don't know what these sins are remitted. Sins are remitted through the blessedness of revelation. Sin, God designed it that through the knowledge of Him, they will receive forgiveness of sin. You receive forgiveness of sin through knowledge. He said, by knowledge shall my Holy One sprinkle the nation. So I love this. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now bring it in Psalm. Psalm brought it the way I liked it. Give it to me in Psalm. Amen. Are you being blessed at all? Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That guile. You know when Jesus said, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. It's a work. There's a work called guile. That work is that's what they mean by spirit. So sometimes when you hear spirit, it's actually work. In whose spirit there is no guile. So a work has been worked in him, and that work came as a result of blessing of revelation. Can you say blessing of revelation? Say it again, blessing of revelation. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes. Can you say impute? So they put. What do they put? Sin puts something in man. Am I right? Sin did what? Then the man will sin. And the sin will tell him, maybe when he's trying to be remorseful, and of course you should be remorseful, you should have regrets when you sin, but you know there's a way. Sin is intelligent. Sin won't make you see the work, it will make you see the works of the flesh are manifest. He will make you see the lying. My trouble is I'm a liar. I've tried to stop lying. I've tried everything to stop lying. I just find myself lying. Now, the guy is not allowing you see the work. It's sin that is preventing you. What is he using to prevent you? Veil. Darkness. Ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of truth. Ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance is just that you know something else. You just know something else. So that thing itself is the bane. That's the foundation of the works. But they want you to now receive another work. And how do they do? They will impute. Can you say impute? Say it, impute. So they have to put something inside of you. what they will put in you is a work. Now, when we say put, it's not as if they come and install one day. No, it's blessing, revelation, blessing of revelation, blessing of revelation, blessing of revelation. As they are inputting it, they are also on imputing something. That's what they call remitting. So they are removing and putting, removing and putting, removing and putting. Amen. Until it becomes a work. That work is an inheritance. That inheritance is an entrance. Every entrance that is granted to you is an inheritance. It becomes your inheritance. That is why. Why do you think Satan will fight entrance? Huh? Look at the way Sam put it. The entrance of the word. What does it give to you? What? It didn't say shine light. Give it. Give it. So they give you something. Give it light and understanding to the simple. You know, I told you, I said, when you're outside the kingdom, you're simple. Then you're foolish. But when they bring you into the kingdom, because they will give you something. Amen. Praise God. So the entrance, so every entrance that is granted to you is actually inheritance. Every entrance is a garment of praise. That's a garment of praise. Meaning entrance has been ministered to you. You just begin to understand and understand. Now let me ask you a question. Because these things are experiences that we come into and then, you know, we can't relate with it in the sense that I'm teaching. But let me show you something. How many of you have come to, you know, in your journey of understanding of the things of God? It's like at a point you have a breakthrough. It's like a lot of scriptures are lying, and then you just have a kind of understanding. And then you enjoy it. You're studying your Bible, and that's this Bible makes a whole lot of meaning. Even when you pray with another utterance. It's just as if that you're being, I won't call it a season, but it's as if a room has been made for you. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. A room has been made for you. You fellowship there. You enjoy it. You enjoy it. You enjoy it. You didn't have it before. All of a sudden, you began to have that, and you kept having it and having it and having it. All of a sudden, after a while, it's as if the thing dries up. How many of you have had that kind of experience? And these entrances now, they want to minister another one. I know some of us will want that one. Guy, that time I used to pray, I would just wake up in the night by 12, I'll pray from 12 to 2. When I take up my Bible, I just see revelations. And after a while, it's as if everything just closes. Amen. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. That's an entrance was ministered to you in that season, but there are many entrances. Now, if they don't shut down one door, another one will not open. So they begin to shut it down. It's just like somebody who is ministering under the anointing. How do you know that the thing is finishing? They begin to shut it down. If they begin to shut it down and you don't stop, you'll start struggling. Amen. But when it's open, you just find out that everything is, things are just flowing, things are just flowing. It's easy to, you know, knit scriptures together, bring scriptures and buttress. Even examples are coming effortlessly. You know, sometimes when there's no utterance, you look for example. You just look for example. The thing that they enter. You try to enter the, no way. You try to enter this door, no way. But when there is entrance ministered to you, you just discover that things are simple. Then after a while, it begins to shut. Now, at that season, what they are wanting to do to you is give you another entrance. Praise God. Amen. 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 Now, this entrance into becoming little children in everlasting life is blessing of revelation. So there's a revelation that is with the Father that will make for entrance of little children. Now, the other one, they called it, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. There's another, what I'm trying to make you see is that in little children, in everlasting life, there are entrances. Three major. Little children, young men, fathers. But you see that little children, there are many entrances there. There are many entrances in little children. I think I'm answering somebody's question. So you can now know that when I enter little children, I will still have to stay there for a while. An entrance will be ministered to me. Young men of everlasting life, it's not easy. They are strong. They are strong. The word of God, they are not just living, it's abiding. They've gone through warfare. Because you need to fight for the word to stay. So state of young men is not young men because you're strong. It's not, you can be gray hair physically and be a young man in everlasting life. And you can be gray hair physically and you have not even entered little children. And you can be a very young man physically and you are a father. How many of us like that one? That's why I used to say, I don't want it that when I am 70 or 80, then you now hear, yes, he has entered into everlasting life, or he has laid hold on eternal life. I want it when I'm young. He said it's good for a man to bear his yoke. I want it when I'm young. I don't want it when I'm old. I want it when I'm young. I've been asking the Lord, I want this thing when I'm young. Because when I'm young, I will still be able to communicate it to many. Not when I'm about to go. When I'm young. Hallelujah. So these young men, they are also, that's another stage. Two things also mentioned about the young men. So you can see the young men are also two. So it's entrances. The word of God abided. The first one is, look at it. I've written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abided in you and you've overcome the wicked one. The first young men. Amen. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Two things the young men did. Two things they did. They gave them the word. And they used the word to overcome. Then the word abided in them. Now, the word they used is what made them strong. Meaning, if they give you the word and you don't use it, you will not be strong. Am I saying the truth? If they give you revelation and you don't obey it, you will not be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How would that happen? They give you something. Now, before he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, he has been teaching them revelation. From chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, then in chapter 6, before he now said, finally, be strong in the Lord. So what made them strong? The things they have heard is what will make them strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, why he was saying be strong here is that you've obeyed. Now, it's actually in the season of that obedience that you war. The war is against disobedience. Disobedience. You will be able to avenge every disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, you, as you're fulfilling obedience, what you're doing is that you're warring with the wicked one. Well, how did they call it the wicked one? Cain was of the wicked one. He was of the wicked one. Why? His work. The work that was done in him. Amen. So they give you the word to undo the work that have been rough inside. How? By obedience. It's a warfare to obey God. Am I saying the truth? How many of us find it very easy to obey God? You will come and teach us. You know why is warfare? There's a spirit called the spirit of disobedience. That's the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that walketh. You see, he's walketh. What is he walking? He's walking in children of disobedience. Just like God is walking in these little children, remitting their sin. This one is also walking in the children of disobedience. Where is he walking? Why is he walking? He wants to take them to young men in sin. And then take them to fathers in sin. Fathers in sin are those who have inherited corruption. Corruptible seed. They have the seed called corruption. They didn't just obey corruption. You can obey corruption, but you've not come to the seed. Just like you can obey God. But it has to take you a lot of journey to come to the place where you inherit the incorruptible seed. You can also, it was Daddy that was teaching, I think yesterday night he mentioned it. He said, many people in the world, they are, you can't count many who has actually inherited corruption. That's what it means to inherit corruption. To inherit corruption is to not just obey it, you must have obeyed it to the point where it becomes a seed. When it becomes a seed in you, that is what makes that person son of perdition. Meaning what he will be churning out, everything about him will be perditious. He can't help it. He's a seed. He's a carrier of seed. So in the days of our being young men, we fight. We war. War of obedience. I must obey God. How many of you want to obey God? You have to be strong. Now, obeying God, there are levels of obedience. You must understand. I'm not saying that those who are obeying God in milk, you have to start from there. But here is obeying God at the pedigree of everlasting life. That is where they now say, I've laid before you life and death. They won't tell that to a baby. The baby doesn't know what death is. But they can say, I laid to you life and death. Meaning you've come of age. You can now understand what death is. Just like Cain and Abel came of age, they could understand. That is why what Cain did was grievous. He didn't do it out of ignorance. He knew what he was doing. Did you understand? His works were evil. He knew what he was doing. His brother was right. It was works. It was works. He knew what he was doing. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So you war. And then when you have done obedience and you have overcome, then the word will abide in you.
Then the next stage is the Father. How many of us are blessed today? What I see in the Spirit, while God is taking time to make this thing very clear to us, is a season of multiple entrance is upon us. One of the things the Lord told me recently is pay more attention to the work within. Pay more attention to the work within. Pay more attention to the work within. Give more attendance to the work within. There's a way things external can take your attention, especially if you're in ministry. You can be so busy doing this, doing that, doing that, doing that. And then it says, pay more attention to the work within. You might not be ministry, you might be a business person, be a worker. There's a way externality can take your attention. There's even a way prosperity external can take your attention. Yeah. There's a way things being so rosy outside can take your attention. There's also a way of adversity around you can also take your attention, because all of them, they have ability to, they want to steal your attention and your devotion. But say, pay attention to the work going in, going on inside. Take time to know points that I've given you commandments. Revisit it. Obey it. Don't postpone it. Those points that I've given you commandments, they are points that I want to do a work. And that work can't be done except you obey me in that area. I'm sure it's not only to me he's saying that, he's also saying that to all of us who will obey him. Amen. How many of us are ready to obey him? Because we want to inherit something. Can we begin to give him thanks this afternoon?
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.